Hey everyone, welcome to the Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Audrey.
And on this podcast, we share the messy, honest, unfiltered, and not so curated parts of our life.
Think of this podcast as a bunch of bloopers with some truth bombs sprinkled throughout.
That's right. We're going to be taking you behind the scenes of our daily routines, our social media feeds, and what you may or may not have seen on TV.
We're going to be talking relationships, family, faith, business, basically whatever we are learning about, fighting about, or laughing about lately.
We're going to be sharing our daily life, our struggles, successes, and our roses and thorns from each week.
And we don't want this podcast to just be about us, so we're also going to go behind the scenes with some of the people who inspire us the most.
We hope this podcast feels like you're joining us for a campfire.
Come hang out.
Good morning or afternoon or whenever you're listening to this. We have got a very exciting episode today. We're sitting down with Zach and Tori Roloff,
who don't need much of an introduction because you probably know who they are.
Yeah. So Zach, for those that don't, Zach is my twin and Tori is his wife.
So brother and sister-in-law for me, and they have been requested by so many of you guys to be on Behind the Scenes podcast. So we're really excited. They're going to be our first guests in the actual physical studio, which will be really fun to have a conversation just about their love story. We're going to talk about how they met leading all the way up to now. We're going to talk a little bit about
parenting.
Wow. Okay. Are we twins?
We have done this a lot.
We're going to talk about parenting, just their views on, you know, how dwarfism has affected their view on parenting, and
dive in a little bit about the show, a little bit about the future.
Answering a lot of your guys' questions, really. So we did a poll out on Instagram and asked you guys what questions you had for Zach and Tori, and so we pulled from a lot of those questions in this episode. So it's kind of a Q&A style episode with Zach and Tori, and we have a few specific questions from some of you guys. If you are following on Instagram, we may be answering one of your questions. So if you're not following on Instagram, make sure you go check it out, Behind the Scenes Podcast on Instagram.
Yep.
And we hope you guys love this episode and get a little behind the scenes on Zach and Tori.
Hashtag story of Zach and Tori. Here we go. Well, this is exciting. We have Zach and Tori in the studio today.
Hey guys, yeah.
It's our first time actually having physical people here in the studio with us, because usually we just do these online, so it's cool to be able to like actually have a conversation with you guys in person.
Yeah, and Zach has shown interest in podcasting, right?
We're excited to be here. This is fun.
And we've dabbled with the idea or concept of doing a podcast together, but that's a different conversation. So
requested by popular demand, in case you guys don't know, Zach and Tori, Jared's twin brother and my brother and sister-in-law. So we're excited to have them on because so many of you guys have been wanting to hear from them for a really long time. So we're going to talk about their love story. We're going to talk about a bunch of different stuff. We pulled a lot of you guys' Instagram questions on Behind the Scenes podcast. And so we will be answering, or Zach and Tori will be answering some of your guys' questions. And then we're going to do some specific questions from specific fans at the end of the episode. So stay tuned to the end.
Yeah. So everyone probably knows who you guys are, but why don't you guys tell everyone listening who you are and what you do?
Hey, Zach and Tori Roloff here. Jeremy's brother, Audrey's brother-in-law, and then Tori Roloff, my wife. Yep.
Got that one down.
I was trying to think of your relationship to Jeremy and Audrey, so brother and sister-in-law. Anyway, Zach and Tori, we do the show Little Pee Wig World with my mom and dad.
Mm-hmm. For a long time.
And then I also coach soccer, youth soccer. That's one of my passions, soccer and working with kids. Tori is a kindergarten teacher.
Well, I was a kindergarten
She was a kindergarten teacher.
A stay-at-home mom with our son, Jackson.
Yeah, now we have Jackson who...
Full-time position.
Turned two. And then we have another one on the way,
a
baby girl. BB
girl!
Can't wait.
Yeah, super.
So excited. We're going to talk more about that because there's been lots of questions about baby girl coming. Lots of questions about if you will ever go back to teaching, why you decided to be a stay-at-home mom. So we want to get to that too. But before we dive into some of those, will you guys tell us how you met, or tell our listeners, we know, but tell our listeners how you guys met and your love story from, you know, the beginning to catching us up to now, but specifically how you met, what dating was like leading up to your wedding day.
Sparks
all that good
love
stuff.
Story.
And there can be some overlap. You guys can interrupt each other, and because there's always some discrepancies.
Well, I worked on the farm and I was a greeter for pumpkin season. So I'd say hi to people and like answer questions as they came in. And Zachary, I think at the time you were driving tractors.
Yeah. I think I was driving tractor, but also taking photos. That's when we started.
Yeah.
Which tractors is the tour rides, right?
Yeah. So I was doing the tour rides and then also interacting with fans, taking photos.
But he told an employee that he thought I was cute, but I wouldn't go out with him. And so, of course, me, I'm like, haha, watch this. And he was supposed to talk to me at the employee party, but
the employee end of the year party.
But you didn't.
He did not. No. All of his friends did, except for him. Yeah.
And that was the thing, though. That was intimidating. So Mueller, Dan, everyone else is talking to you, and then for me, it's like, all right, like I don't know.
Peace out.
I'm gonna go play soccer, bowl, or something. That okay, year, well, I did win the costume contest, though.
You were Fonz that year.
And so I was a little.
Oh my gosh.
I was high on my game at the moment.
Yeah. he was like above me at that moment. I made this in my life.
I had some tight jeans on, a woman's leather jacket.
Oh yeah.
Hair slicked back, and
yeah,
I won something.
Yeah. So,
I had some big things going on.
You did.
Wait, so okay, backtrack a little bit though, Tori. Why did you decide to work pumpkin season? Like, had you seen the show before?
Yeah, I had seen the show a couple times. My dad worked at Intel, like right down the road. Mm-hmm. And so I applied just kind of like, oh, let's see what happens. I was in college and, you know, had nothing
like
to do
a fun
on the weekend.
Thing to do.
So yeah, it sounded like a cool thing to do. And I did it and it was really fun. And
yep, that was Murphy chasing a peacock.
Yeah. Was that really?
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Welcome to the farm.
Welcome to the farm. We're in the studio.
Just like looking out the window, like, oh, yeah. There goes Murphy.
For everyone listening, we just saw this big black thing dash through the window. We're sitting in the studio at the farm and Murphy's chasing a peacock.
I really hope he doesn't catch it. I think
no,
they
he
fly.
Won't.
They're too fun. They're too fast.
Okay, back to the story though. So,
anyway, what was I saying?
Fun thing to do, pumpkin season.
Fun thing to do, so I did it. And it was really fun. Like everyone who worked there, it was really nice. I kind of came in at a time where all the employees were still like my age. You know,
yeah,
it was like
yeah,
a bunch
young.
Of kids working
yeah.
there. And so it was really fun. And then, yeah, so he was supposed to like ask me out at the employee party, never did. And so February came around.
No, it was January. January.
Came
yeah.
Okay, only 3 months.
Yeah, January came
three
around.
Months,
yeah,
I'm
January
like
came
out.
Around and I texted you.
Yeah.
And then we ended up going on a date.
Yeah.
We went to Red Robin. Mm-hmm. We saw a movie,
yes.
Country Strong.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ended up
Whoa.
Going on a drive. And we ended
and
up.
Mueller and Jeremy
yeah,
got us
wait,
lost.
Hold on. No. We ended up going on a drive. So we're passing the farm. And I'm like, hey, like we can either go back to the farm and like date's over.
Oh,
or
I remember
continue.
This call.
We can keep going, you know? And Tori's like, yeah, let's keep going. So we drive up to Skyline.
Or I don't really
clearing.
Remember it that way, though.
I remember clearly.
Yeah,
we
this
talked
is my
about
favorite
it.
Part.
No, no,
oh,
no.
Oh, that right. part, yeah. And then we get to like a T in the road and Zach's
no, no,
just
but
like,
that was after
yeah,
we went
yeah,
through the
right,
clearing
right.
and then we are driving back a different way. And then
yeah.
I got to a spot where I'm like, I don't
know where to go.
It's straight or right. I don't know which way. It's dark. It's at night and everything. I'm like, you know, we've been driving for already 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So this date's like a 5-hour thing. And then I called
That's
Jeremy and Mueller up and I go, hey guys, like, which way do you go to get back?
Yeah. Okay. Let me type. Jump in here because then I remember this call vividly.
You're going to tell part of that love story now.
Well, no, but Mueller and I looked at each other and we go, we could send him home. Or on another hour ride.
Yeah.
And so we
and
told you guys like,
being another hour
we
ride.
Told you guys to go left or some whatever
yeah.
it was.
Instead of going right.
Instead of going yeah. right. And we hung up the phone and laughed for a while.
Yeah, so we ended up in Scappoose.
Yeah.
So
oh my god.
You can get on Google Maps right now and you can tell how far Scappoose is
well,
away.
This is before we didn't have GPS on our phones. We couldn't just
yeah.
look it up to see
yeah.
where
yeah.
we were.
That's right.
Which is
no,
so
I still
interesting.
Had a, I,
so
yes,
wild.
When we started dating, ladies Zach and gentlemen,
still had his flip phone.
I had a flip
oh, yeah.
phone.
Your bright neon Adidas shoes. Your
I know
phone.
It's adorable.
Oh my god!
And his little hat. Your little.
But this date
hat.
Did set us off to an awesome relationship because it allowed us to talk and get to know each other. Mm-hmm. But it also made us very comfortable in silence and just being together.
Mm-hmm.
And like
good.
It was part of the car ride that we were just like.
Yeah.
Comfortable. And for like, that was huge for me, being antisocial, not
allowed, that is huge.
Not going on a lot of dates, no
like
dates.
Like
I left the date thinking like, wow, that like I know him now. Like I just spent like 5 hours. And
it's
I,
a
like,
super comfort. Well, we got lost for like 2 hours though. So
that peaceful silence is like such a good sign, I feel.
Yeah.
And I remember being in that car being like, this is it. Like, this is the guy for me. Like,
really? That early?
Like, so soon. And it took him forever.
No, because then we go another 2 months.
So how long? So you knew then you're like, this is the guy I'm going to marry?
I felt such a connect. Like, I felt a connection with him that I've never had with any other human in my entire existence. And I was like, this, like, yeah.
When was our first kiss, though? It was like April.
It was like April.
So now let's fast forward another, like, so I'm like,
we weren't even dating. We started, like, so he asked me out.
Well, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Sorry, I want to ask a question, though, because I think a lot of people might be thinking this, and I can ask it, because I'm Zach's twin. But Tori, like, were you mentally, when you started having those feelings of like, whoa, this is like the guy for me, you know, were you mentally wrestling through some thoughts of like, but he's a little person, and like, you know, like, was there any inward tension in that kind of moment?
Honestly,
as you're processing,
like,
that, because that, it is very different.
Yeah.
And like, you had to have made a mental decision to either move forward with those feelings or to say like, maybe he's a nice guy, but not marriage material.
Well, and I like, that's a really good question. But looking back, I honestly don't like, I had such a connection with him that I just didn't care. I don't think I ever thought about the height difference until we were like talking about having kids. That was the first time I ever was like, well, is this
like into marriage then?
Yeah. Like, well, no.
Or
like,
were you talking about it before?
Like my first LPA visit.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you kind of saw.
We weren't married.
No, we weren't married. It was in Michigan. And I saw some things that were really scary to me with like kids that.
No. So, whoa, hold on. Not.
But like when I first met him, like, no, he made me feel so comfortable. And I was just like, I just want to spend time with this guy all the time. And I never really thought about it. Like, I never really looked at him that way.
When you say scary, what do you?
Flash forward. The only time I've ever really had like a, is this where I want my life to go? Mm-hmm. Is when I went to an LPA convention. Or no, it wasn't even LPA. It was DAAA. It was in Michigan, and it was the World Games. And his dad flew me out last minute, like 2 days before. His dad like bought me a plane ticket, and I flew out, and I just remember being on the field. Sorry.
It's okay.
I thought I put it on Do Not Disturb. Anyway, I just remember being on the field, and there was one child who had a trach, and all of a sudden he lost oxygen, and mom
That's
had to
scary.
Like plug in his trach, and totally normal. The mom handled it like a boss. Like, she like knew exactly what to do. She was like ready, rolling, wasn't panicked whatsoever. And I just remember looking at that and being like, that could be me. Am I like okay
Are
with that?
Are you prepared and ready?
I'm prepared
and,
for that. Yeah.
Kid babies with dwarfism do have a bigger possibility of coming out with, you know, more issues, being premature, or just having maybe more medical issues than other babies. So
yeah,
but that could be like any like.
And that's like a really smart self-assessment. And I think when you say like saw some things that are scary, I think a lot of that is an internal thought of like, holy smokes, am I the type of person that, you know,
can I handle
can,
it as
can
well
handle
as
this?
Did.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you guys talk about it at that time? Like, did you talk to Zach about it?
Oh yeah. And then it wasn't until then we got married. Clearly, I got over those feelings quickly. And we got married, and we went to an LPA convention, like a national in Boston. And I just remember going down with all the little like kids and like going to the dance and just being like, this is great. This is where I'm supposed to be. Like, this is, I'm like fully okay with this, like this lifestyle I've chosen, and I'm ready for it. You know, so
that's cool.
Yeah.
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 Zach, how does that make you feel?
It was great. So we go on that first date, and then I started inviting her to play in our co-ed soccer, you know, so that went on for like 2 or 3 months or whatever. And then I think first kiss happened in like April.
Yeah, and Molly Joe finally was like, she's not coming down for soccer.
Yeah, my sister. Like, the story goes, she would come to the campfires after the games, and then I would say,
and like,
Molly,
he wouldn't even
Paige,
talk to me.
Sarah, go talk to Tori and make her feel welcome or whatever. And then eventually Molly's like, hey, Zach, I don't, you know, Molly and her friends.
Zach,
hey,
let me cut it to you straight.
Tori's not coming.
She doesn't care about
Tori's not. Okay. That's true. Tori's not driving all the way down here for 45-minute drive down here. play soccer, get sweaty, go to a campfire, yeah. and then drive 45 minutes home. Like, that's not what she's...
Yeah.
That's not her jam.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember her. So magically said during our wedding speech, I was being very intentional.
Yes,
I was being super methodical. Everything was done for a reason.
Yes.
And then look at the beautiful relationship it nurtured.
Yeah. Well, I remember Tori making those, like, drives, like... all the time.
Yeah.
And Mueller and I were, we all knew the same thing. We're like, that's a pursuit, you know, like, for sure. Yeah. And so
how did you guys start date? Like, what was the turning point of like, okay, we're going to date committed.
We had our first kiss. And then I remember we had a conversation after that.
Was that Indoor Goals?
Yeah. But yeah. Say it though.
I don't remember exactly what it was, but like we had our first kiss and I kind of thought that was our indication that, like, we're dating. Like, thing.
No, I think that was mine. And then you were saying, well, you haven't asked me.
Oh, okay, maybe that's what it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, Tori was like, you haven't, like, asked me. I'm like, oh, yeah. I kissed you. I've never kissed anyone before. Like, that was like,
didn't I communicate that?
Yeah, I communicated that very clearly. And she was like, well, we haven't, like, had that formal, like,
official.
Yeah.
I'm like, the DTR.
Well, we're official.
Gotta have the DTR.
We went and played soccer.
Yes.
Zach's like, kiss and soccer? Aren't we married already?
Yeah. Well, let's figure this out before the game, because Tori didn't like playing soccer with me, though, after this, because...
No, I still don't to this day.
I get super intense during the games, and...
Oh, yeah, your south side comes out.
Yeah. Well, no, it's the game. You can't take anything personal. I'm just
being... pass the ball.
Yeah. Or when she misses that shot, that look I give.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
It's shocking that Tori stuck around.
Hey friends, we hope you're enjoying this episode, and we wanted to take a quick break from this episode because we have a challenge for you. If you have already read our book, A Love Letter Life, and it has encouraged, inspired, or impacted your life in some way, we want to challenge you to book it forward. Jeremy and I love gifting books that impact our lives to friends and family. So if our book has impacted you, would you consider booking it forward and gifting your copy or buying a copy for a friend or family member? More specifically, here's our challenge. If you know someone getting married this summer, would you grab a copy of A Love Letter Life and gift it to them? It could be a gift that continues to give to their marriage for years to come. And one of our biggest hopes through this book was to encourage couples to spend more time preparing for their marriage than their wedding day. Would you help us by gifting our book to an engaged couple, or even gifting it as a wedding gift or a honeymoon read? If you're an Amazon shopper, A Love Letter Life is only $13, and it's a gift that could have a massive impact on someone else's love story for years to come. So go add a copy of A Love Letter Life to your cart, or pick it up from any bookstore, Barnes & Noble, etc. near you, or even your local Hobby Lobby. Thanks for listening. Back to the episode.
Okay.
So you date for how long?
For 4 years.
Yeah, then we date for four years.
Wow. Four or five years. Well,
and you're still making 45-minute drives.
I was going
up there. Like, after Indoor Goals, I would go up there around 6 and just hang out for, like, we would, you know, so you drive 45 minutes, hang out for an hour and a half, and then you drive home.
Yeah.
So, like, we did more, our drive was about as long as our hangout sometimes.
Yeah.
There's, you know, so we did that for a couple years.
But it also made it more, and, like, exciting, though, to be honest, because... we only saw each other on the weekends. You know, we didn't really get to hang out during the week because I was in school.
Yep.
And he was working. And so it was just like...
It was tough, though, sometimes, because then you sometimes feel like every hangout has to be, like, awesome. But then there's some hangouts we literally just sat in her room and then...
Watched a movie.
And then we left or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or I left. Or she left. She comes up here and then...
Mm-hmm.
But
he goes 4 years later into the relationship. He goes and buys a house without telling me.
Oh, I remember.
This was part in our relationship that I was like, we're either gonna break up or like we're gonna get engaged.
Because, Tori and me will be writing a book one of these days. It'll be a series of stories of all the times Tori could have broken up with me and could have been completely justified.
Yeah, that's because you guys were preparing for. Probably getting engaged.
Yeah. Like 4 years.
And then there was no communication about the house buying. Like,
no,
it was just
my dad
like,
called me up and said, Zach, there's a house in Bethany, a hot neighborhood. Boom, boom, boom.
And he's
I
like,
said,
I'm
going
to move in with a bunch of my buddies. And it's
yeah.
Because
we were in an apartment. I just moved off the farm. I lived in an apartment for a year. And that's going from the farm to an apartment, not no.
Yeah, I remember that. That was not. That was hard. Yeah.
Yeah. So then, bought this house, and then Tori gets off work, and I call her up. I'm like, "Hey, what do you do
today?" Literally, get off work, and yeah, like, come check out my new house.
Wow.
It was a business investment, though, and it ended up doing a lot of good things for our relationship and our marriage. Later
yeah, for sure.
So looking back, it was good. Yeah. At the time,
I hated the house, and I was like, "This is the worst decision."
Yeah. Well, do you guys have like a? That's kind of a
And then that ended up being the house that you moved into and started your marriage.
Yeah, and then we ended up moving into it. You know, we renovated it a little bit.
Not that long after. Yeah. Because we had,
got
okay, well, let's continue the story. Yeah, so we got engaged, and then you guys got engaged.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pretty close. Like, we were pretty close.
We got engaged in the same month, right? Or, like, really close?
We talked somewhere. Yeah,
I
remember.
I thought it was really close. Like,
we talked in
we
the
got engaged April 29th.
Okay, we were March. So we were month close. Apart.
Well, no, we were March 10th.
Jeremy and me talked about this on the phone, I think it was, and then we basically came to the conclusion that we both had just recently bought. I think we were literally calling each other to tell each other that we had both bought rings or gotten twin rings moment. Or we were both planning on doing this. Okay, we've done this several times. But then I remember.
Twin
and then,
senses.
You guys got engaged. And then.
You guys were
I kind of remember being like, I was like so stoked because I saw it like. From the moment you guys got together, it was like they're going to be together forever and it's like going to work out. But I do remember being like, are you kidding me, Zachary?
Let's go.
4 years later. Like,
because you guys were dating longer than us at the time. Yeah. And
intentionality, methodical.
And then you guys got married.
I mean,
the
we weren't that far.
Summer,
we were
right?
We dated for 3 years, babe.
No, you guys dated for like basically 5 years. Same amount.
Yeah.
As we did.
But you guys went
3 years.
Back and forth.
We dated 3 years.
Or there was a little bit of a delay.
We didn't date when you guys were dating, though. We were just.
Is different because
out,
we
friend.
Had that 2 year pursuit, yeah. that 2 year
we
friendship,
had, like,
and then that
the 2 year friends.
We thought they
only.
Were dating in there.
Yeah, and then that 3 year long distance dating.
I remember that.
So
that was painful.
We only dated long distance.
Yeah. Anyway, so engaged, married. You guys married how long?
Three and a half years. Oh my
Coming
gosh,
up on 4 years
next month.
Wow,
2 months from now.
Yeah, four. So we got Jackson pretty quick after the.
We wanted
a year
we
and a month
year.
After the wedding, and then
Had and then Jackson. Catch everyone up. So like tell us, so you guys have one kid, Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson. Yeah, Jackson's 2 years old. He just turned two in May here. It's May still. Yeah, so he turned two this month, and he's
Akon.
He's great. He's Akon and Pelagic Dwarf, but he's growing good, walking, running. He loves coming to the farm.
Oh, yeah.
Has a great personality.
He's a
really fun kid. We call him Stoic because sometimes he'll just like be very quiet and observant.
Yeah.
It's a nice way to say.
It's kind of funny the juxtaposition because like between Jackson and Ember.
Yeah.
Because Ember.
Ember has her Stoic moments too, though. Yeah.
She does.
In the zone.
Oh, no, but that's
but
the thing.
She's
yeah, Tori,
like, or I would not call Jackson a spaz.
Yeah, Ember's got the spaz.
Like Jackson has his moments where he's like, mama, 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 talk.
For
but
sure.
Overall, I would say he's stoic. And then Ember, I would say she's a talker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And she's very imaginative. Like,
yes.
She doesn't really
and
have
she
that
mimics.
Aspect yet. She's you can tell she's going to be creative and like,
like, she'll be in the middle of a stoic daydream and then just burst out of it with fury and excitement into some big, long book. Dragon eating fire thing shark that she's been imagining she'll spaz out of that pretty hard
you
guys did a good
story.
Job there's no major discrepancies in the love story that was good I'm
was
impressed
good. So
just the driving
a couple
issue
questions
a
on marriage now we're all caught up to marriage a couple questions on marriage is there so like I mean, we kind of mentioned this in the beginning but in light of our book A Love Letter Life we're doing this this relationship series, love story series, and then we get to the marriage part and then we ask a couple questions on marriage. So like, is there anything that you guys do specifically as far as rhythm, being intentional in your guys' marriage?
Like routines or like it could be as simple as date nights regularly or like whatever it is for you guys that's like,
you
got a busy life,
you
got a
kid. You can always be better, but like I think Tori and me do a pretty good job at like, We go on dates, it's not a every Wednesday, it's a date night kind of thing. But like, I think we do a pretty good job at, dating each other. at night, always reflecting on the day. That's, I would say, we do almost every night. Like, it's a good, hey, how was your day?
So that's a really good.
What do you think of this? What do you think of that? Like, how do you feel about this?
Both of our personalities, we love to, like, dissect things and, like, how, like, situations go or and how people perceive situations. Like, Zach and I love diving into.
Tori will say, like, this happened. And I'll say, well, okay, how do you react or how do you feel about that? Or what was your, like,
oh, wow.
That was the emotional, like.
But then not only with us two not asking, like, each other how we feel, but, like, oh, how do you think that made, like, so-and-so feel in that situation? Like, what do you think maybe they meant by their actions or, like.
Yeah. And you guys have this conversations every night, like, before bed?
And, like, we're every car ride.
Yeah, wow.
You guys are both.
Yeah, we got
penalized.
Okay, but yeah, we have this. Yeah, we have those.
It's just like fun for us though too.
It's communicating though. It's over. Yeah.
For sure.
Sometimes people can call it over communicating, but I don't think there's not enough communication in this world.
Yeah.
There's not enough reflecting and like also like an awareness of not just what people are saying, but we also talk about like our nonverbal communication. Well, how do we put that off? How. You know,
that's something that he's taught me so much about because I feel like I'm not the best at that. Like I'm kind of bad at like the nonverbal. Like I'm easy to read.
Tori's nonverbal communication while she's driving too is.
Do you guys since we're on this really quick? Do you guys know people ask this question a lot, and I don't know if you guys know your Enneagram numbers?
Yes, or I've only taken the Enneagram by myself. And
yeah,
Jeremy,
but the best
Tori,
way
you
to,
don't know, you don't
on,
think
the
you
best
know?
Way to you guys would probably understand so much about each other. But the best way to I don't want to get an Enneagram right now, but the best way to do it would be read the book, with
Jeremy,
each other.
Yeah, you've talked to me about that and doing it with someone or with
or
Tori,
honestly,
or with me.
With a group
Wait,
of
Zach,
people.
What
so
did
like,
you think? You
next
were
time
though,
you guys
you said?
Come over,
I did an online one and I already, got six. The Loyalist.
Yeah,
which makes
I like for me that totally like
I makes.
I read it. And I was like, this is like. This is self-assuring or like...
Mm-hmm. We'll have a fire at our house or out by the campfire and we'll do this. We'll read the parts of the book with you guys and by
it's
the
hard.
End of that fire, we'll
See,
know.
For me, it's hard to do that though because like I feel like everything I've read from Enneagram, there's like, oh, I'm kind of this and I'm kind of that. And I'm, you know, when like someone's asking me, well, does this fit you?
There's a number for like, that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
there you go.
We'll get into it.
Okay.
We'll get into that. So I like this. Let me go back to this nightly recap thing because that's a really good, like, because we have our weekly recap, the marriage journal, which is good. But the daily thing, I think we do that like on accident throughout the day, but we don't really have this intentional at the end of every day. And that's obviously no social media, no phone. You're both engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And not every time. It's not always like an hour. Like sometimes it's like a nothing happened that day.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it's
everything
just like
went
a,
well that day.
Hey.
Yeah.
But we always give each other the opportunity to bring something
good.
Up.
Giving them
and then if it's not on, then you know,
we
would go about our night or whatever, go to bed, get on our phone, you know, whatever we're doing that night.
Yeah. Totally.
Are there any like kind of going off of this, we always ask people this question too, but are there any boundaries that you guys have put on your marriage to protect your marriage? Like, it can, again, just be, like, the simplest, littlest things, but,
and
like...
And if no, that's fine, but, you know...
Are there
I don't think we, like, formally have any boundaries, but, like, there's just, like...
I think that we're really aware, though, that we don't like to make each other upset, like, with whatever we say, what we do. And so I think that sometimes, like... Do you agree?
We
talk about that often. Like sometimes we won't bring things up because we don't want to upset the other person or and so that like maybe not a boundary, but it's been something that we've like been trying to work on that it's like it's okay to be mad at each other and it's okay to like upset each other as long
Tori
as
me
like,
aren't our negative probably is we're not very good at arguing. Like we both like just I check out really fast. We're not confrontational, but not even confrontational. We just like don't. We're not very good debaters with each other, and we're not very good like them.
Yeah,
we both take it too personally. We both
we both get super offended and personal with each other, and then it's like we're not
That's
getting anywhere though.
Yeah.
So then, how do you reconcile that? Like when you come back with like non-emotional reaction and
well, that's the thing. We have to come back, or one of us just has to say like, "Hey."
And I think it's just time. I think like
we have reapproached.
Because usually it's like me that I'm like overthinking something and like I'm blowing something up in my head, and then I think about it and I go. Like, we'll come back and just kind of be like, okay, this is...
Tori and me sometimes sometimes discomfort, like, pushes you forward. Or if you're not, like, suffering or sweating or, like, you're not
growing.
Yeah, you're not growing. Yeah. And that's where Tori and me, I think Tori and me are growing, but there's definitely parts where like, mm-hmm. it's like sometimes it's like, all right, let's get a little messy here and then we can come out of this.
Flush like, some stuff out a little.
You come out of it even so much like, wow, I so love you because you had this emotional like, you know, not a mean thing or anything, just emotional like.
And like this time around, like, just to throw in a little bit of like this pregnancy this time around. Like it's been really rough on me this time. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that's been hard for us to like communicate that because there's some days that I just don't feel good and I just don't want to like talk about things. And I just, you know, have been a little more moody than usually because I'm not usually that moody, but like this pregnancy has done some like weird things to me. So that's been another thing too, is just trying to like grapple with that and like, you know, do that.
Yeah. No. More so than your pregnancy with Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you feel like they're really different so far?
Oh, opposites.
Yeah. Oh, opposites. Wow. That's very interesting.
Because you weren't moody with Jackson.
No.
And, like, what
and
was...
And I wouldn't call it moody. Maybe, like, moody's a bad word. It's like a funk. Like,
yeah.
I keep on getting in, like, funks, you know? But with Jackson, honestly, no. I had nothing with him. Like, nothing. Yeah. I couldn't eat eggs. That's...
I remember that. Oh. The smell. I remember like having breakfast and you like leave the room.
Yeah, eggs were the only thing that I couldn't
eat. But now you can eat eggs, right?
Yeah, this pregnancy? Now I can eat anything. That's fine.
Back to the original though. Yeah, love the Enneagram. I want to do it as a group though.
Yeah, we'll go through that.
Psychology, all that stuff.
Like, that's why I'm surprised you haven't figured that out yet. But
Well, I've done it on my own.
Zach,
but like,
the way you interact with kids on the soccer field, it is going to open up an entirely new realm of understanding. Like, it's kind of crazy.
I'm into that stuff, though. Yeah. Psychology was the only... Or, sorry, but psychology was the only A's I got in college.
Yeah. It was of interest.
Because it was of interest,
Of interest,
Even though it was easily the most boring lectures
ever. And I feel like you would really like...
I, like, was into it. Front row, like... It was very
interesting.
And I
feel like that's why our communication's so good, because we're both into that. We're both into, like, the psychology of, like, how people think and what people
Why people do what,
like,
they do. Yeah. It's just interesting. Anyway.
Yeah. So, okay, well, those are like the... Oh, sorry, you go.
Yeah, well, there's one more question, and I guess we might get into it later when we get into the fan... the listener cues. Okay, let's go
So we curated... some of the most frequently asked questions that people ask you guys, like, and we put those kind of in like a sheet docket. So these are the ones that were asked over and over again. So, you know, feel free to elaborate or keep your interest short, like whatever you guys feel comfortable with. You can say pass.
Some of these will be a good conversation.
And just
too,
so the listeners know, like Zach and Tori haven't been prefaced with these questions. They decided they wanted to go on the fly. So here we go.
Also ramblers, so we should probably keep it today.
Yeah, no, feel free to take it.
And again, these questions are from you guys. So this week we asked on Behind the Scenes Podcast Instagram to let it, we told you guys we're having Zach and Tori on, and we asked you to ask us questions for them. So these questions are from you guys, just to clarify.
Yes. So one of the commonly asked questions was, and we kind of talked about this, I guess, at the beginning, but Tori, were you a Little People Big World fan before you met Zach? And how has TV affected your guys' relationship?
That's a tough one. Yeah, I definitely had seen the show before. That's how I like knew that there was a farm out here. Because I'm from Vancouver. I'm not from like this area. So
And Vancouver is 45 minutes.
45 minutes away.
Just not Vancouver, Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Vancouver, Washington.
Yes, there you go. So, yeah, I'd like seen the show before. And I don't know. Like, I remember when I first started dating Zach, I was really like, for almost like the first year, 9 months or so of like knowing Zach, I didn't want to be filmed like at all, just because I was so nervous to be that girl that like broke Zach Roloff's heart. And I didn't want to put myself out to be like the villain and have people like, you know, whatever, like whatever runs through your mind. And, so I don't know. I honestly,
I don't think I was super quick to get you on the show either.
No,
like,
we both talked about it a lot.
I was super
too.
Shy, and also like to show affection on camera was like, that's like, whoa.
Well, and when you guys started dating, weren't you not filming? Because I remember,
maybe
it was the pause. You weren't. Yeah,
you weren't.
Because I remember when Jared and I started dating, which was like 3 or 4 months after you guys, like when we really started dating.
Yeah,
they had just started filming again.
I was super shy. I didn't, even when we do date, Now that we're married, I'll do it more. But like, I holding your hand in public was like
you're not a PDA person.
Oh no, like I'm very much in my own world when I'm in public.
Yeah.
So then to do that on camera was like, whoa, like that was. I had an anxiety attack just thinking about it.
Oh my gosh!
So. But I think personally, like the show has helped me in so many ways, just to like. Because I was so shy. Like, I was really shy, kind of kept to myself. Like, I mean, I like, once you get to know me, I'm loud and kind of you know, obnoxious. But yeah, I think it just helped me. Like, I just remember in, like, just college courses giving lecture or, like, giving presentations or whatever. It, like, helped me have confidence just with that, you know. And so many – once we started dating, too, and I became more involved with the show, just, like – the outpouring of support from fans was kind of overwhelming. And so that was just like, it made it, and it, to this day, it makes it fun for me. Like the show's always been like a positive influence in my life. And it's always been, and I remember the first time I ever filmed too, because we had talked about like, oh, we're not going to film together until we're like serious and we know what's going on and whatever. But then your family decided y'all are going to Australia. And I, Zachary had asked me from day one, like, if you could go anywhere, where would you go? And I've always said Australia. Like, I was obsessed with it. So that was the first time I ever filmed.
See, that's so funny because, like, the first time I was ever filmed was when we all went to Costa Rica. So that was your second trip.
Yeah.
But it's funny that, like, our first time ever being filmed was, like, out of the country with their family doing exotic excursions.
Yeah. So bad.
And we told that whole story in the book about your first time filming and stuff. But that's cool to hear because I feel like we could all say the same thing, that, like, it's positive. You know, for the most part, sure, there are areas I think we all need, like, guard ourselves and protect ourselves because, you know, being famous or in the public eye isn't the most natural thing. And so there are areas we need to protect. But I think that's a misconception that people have about, and this is leading into the next one of the next questions. Aj and I, as we would say the same thing, like, wow, the support from the fans and the listeners and the watchers, it's like amazing, so positive, and there's so many good elements to it. But we did end up stepping away, and a lot of people translated that to be like, oh, you guys hated it and it was negative and all. It's like, no, not at all. We just felt
people step away from jobs all the time that they don't hate, but just that they, you know,
but that being said, one of the most asked questions was, how do you guys feel about us stepping out?
You guys stepping off the show. I think it was fine. We're fine with it. You guys were doing, you know, other things that ended up being very successful, and it was very, you guys had a pathway that you had a lot of drive towards, and
you
can't fault that, you know, like obviously it's nice sharing screen time with you guys and things like that.
Like, do you feel like you guys have had more pressure now to be like a bigger role and like
there's no pressure or anything. I think Tori and me, the way we approach filming and things like that, it's very, you know, we're level-headed about it, so there's no pressure like that.
And I feel like, too, with, like, Jeremy and Molly and Jacob, I feel like the show came to a point where it was, like, I've shared my story. I've shared what I wanted to share.
Point.
And, like, you know, we, like, with you guys, it was, like, I have other things that I want to go do and pursue. And for Zach and I, like, it's still fun for us. We're still enjoying, like, sharing our story with other people and, like. Like, the minute, like, I think the minute it becomes pressurized and it becomes something that's bigger than what it is, that's when, like, you have to really stop and be like, okay, what's best for our family? And right now, like, it's
Tori and me are enjoying it. We're still enjoying doing it, but, like, it's like, for me, it was a family affair. So, like, obviously when a piece of the family steps away from it, it's like, okay, now this is becoming, you know, less of a family affair in a way, but at the same
time, more difficult too, because more less shared workload and stuff, but
and just doing stuff together is fun. You know, all these trips. Look at what we're just talking about right now: Australia, Costa Rica.
Also, like
doing all these fun things together. But it is it's fine. Again, you guys have been very successful with what you guys have done with the book and just your the marriage journal and all those things. So I like can't fault you guys for that.
Yeah, thanks. Plus, I feel like we didn't. You know, we communicated for a long time that, hey, this might happen.
It wasn't
like
a bomb that was dropped.
We didn't like drop the bomb. It was like this 2-year process of communication. But
yeah, Tori and me still feel like we have a story to tell, though. And I think that's...
we're enjoying it.
And we enjoy it, so...
Love that. Well, the show must go on.
Yeah.
So, Tori, do you think How far, first of all, how far along in pregnancy are you right now?
I'm almost 14 weeks.
Okay, 14 weeks. And did you guys, how did you guys decide that you were ready to have another baby? Or was that like, were you trying?
Zach was ready the day after Jackson was born. He was okay, when's the next one coming?
I've always wanted 3 or 4 kids though. Yeah. So for me, I'm like, all right,
let's get it going.
That's like, yeah, like we gotta
start now.
Tori's
still in her 20s, but okay.
No, I think for me, like the first year after Jay was born, I was like, no, like do not want to have another kid right now. I was like really focused on Jackson and just getting like my life back, or not life back, I shouldn't say that, like my body back and like feel normal again. So it wasn't until like Jay's first birthday that
it was after his first birthday that you first told me like, hey,
and I was like, I think I'm ready to like,
I'm into this,
start again and like see what happens.
We went to Disneyland that June or July with Sharon and Lindsay, seeing all those babies at Disneyland.
Getting some baby fever.
I remember you told me like, hey, yeah, like.
Maybe. You know, that's what
and then
it was,
we came back from that August, we started trying.
Well, and I think that like, I mean, we don't have to get into this either, but I also think that like I've seen so many people struggle with like having another baby. And so I think I also was kind of like, okay, like what happens if we run into something? I'm 27 at the time and like, you know, and so I think it just like, it was all like a mental, like I'm ready for another baby. Like I want to like get back on the train and
I want 3 or 4 kids though.
Me too.
Want hashtag roll off, you know, what is it?
Wolf
pack.
Yeah.
Army. No, that's Mueller army. Roll off a wolf pack.
Love that.
Yeah.
Okay. Terry, you want to ask this question?
Yeah. So, how has your guys' faith sustained you in different challenges of parenthood so far? Or actually, let me also add to that. Let me add to that question here, like maintaining a common parenting philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get married, obviously, like you bring different history, different lifestyles, different faith backgrounds, different parenting philosophies, different parenting experiences. So in the collision of all that, how have you guys kind of wrestled through that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Big question.
Yeah. Off the top of my head, I don't think like we've come up to any big disagreements though, and
we've always kind of been on the same page with parenting.
Her being a kindergarten teacher, me being a soccer coach, and being around a lot of kids and seeing a lot of different parenting styles, I think kind of automatically
narrowed
points
it
you,
down. Yeah,
yeah, it points you.
Yeah,
you know what you don't want to do. Yeah, and it points you in the right direction.
Yeah,
and
there's
little variables here and there, like when do you want to introduce ice cream or like stuff like silly things. But I think overall, you know, we've been on the same page with our parenting style.
We talk about it all the time. Like we'll have an experience with Jay that's either new or exhausting or like, you know, you walk away from something and you're like, wow, I really didn't like how that went.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Zach and I are good, again, at like dissecting even those sort of things and like...
But like Tori's mama bear though, and like I'm a little bit more like Jackson will fall, and it's like, all right, get up. Like we have disagreements there.
Of course, there's differences.
Not disagreements. Differences.
Yeah.
But that's just natural.
Well, like something that happens with us is like that'll happen, and then Ajul like tell me like I don't care or something, and I'm like, no, like that's not true. That didn't seem to merit my, you know, affection at that point.
Yeah.
And then likewise, though, Aj will do something and I go, babe, like, you know, you don't need to baby her.
Yeah.
And so we have our little discussion about that and then try to find the good middle spot. But
I can't think of a scenario where that happened. But like, there's moments where it's like, all right.
For sure, of course.
Or like when he had a sleep study.
Oh, that's a good example.
Yeah, I FaceTimed her. I'm at the sleep study. I'm not gonna go into too many details of the sleep study, but sleep study, and I FaceTimed Tori, and Tori's like, oh my gosh, like,
because he was crying.
Yeah, and all these wires are over him. I'm like, Tori, he has his special pajamas on. Like,
relax.
Like, he's
because I started crying.
If you make a big deal out of it, they're gonna make a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
And he wasn't crying yet. It was once we FaceTimed. He sees mama all concerned, and then he starts crying. It's like,
and then you have to deal with it. Yeah,
because it's like, this is you. Yeah. We're the adults here. We gotta
be. Yeah.
If that's, you make
such a hard thing as a parent to hide your emotions for your kids.
Oh yeah,
Like that, and it's only going to get more real as they get older. Yeah.
And at two, even like, I'm sure you see it with Ember. Like you, you have to now because they pick up on everything.
But then you also want to be like some element of a human and real and like let them see you. Like at some point, like there's gotta be a balance. Yeah,
no, conveniently though, she was on the other side of Portland. So she didn't have to, like Jeremy said, she didn't have to deal with the repercussions. Yeah. But yeah, there's moments like that where it's like, but that's just learning to be a parent. It's no big like philosophy issues we have.
What's our philosophy? You may think it's cute now.
Oh yeah,
this but is if a good it's one. Not going to be cute in 10 years,
But we said, that. Someone said
this one's hard though. This one's hard to apply.
The things that are cute right now won't be in 10 years.
But
there's like, times that's like a philosophy that we have lived by. Like
that's hilarious.
Yeah. But there's moments though where it's like, oh wow, this is just too adorable. Let me take a picture. Okay, yeah. But like, overall, we try to say like, hey, is this going to be cute? Like 10 years from now,
stomping his foot downstairs because he didn't get a piece of cheese out of the refrigerator.
Document like, and then correct.
You have to like instruct now, so then when they do, kids go through phases. We all know that for sure. No matter what you do, the kids are going to go through a phase.
Yeah.
But we're trying to whip it now. So when they're 9, 10, 11, 12,
you have a decent human.
Having kids, totally. You have a decent human, but also like. We've heard you hear the narrative with marriage. You guys have heard this, like, oh, well, you get married and like, it's terrible. It's supposed to be the worst years of your life, whatever. It's like, well, that's not the case. You know, that doesn't have to be the case.
Yeah.
Same thing with having kids. When you hear, it's the exact same.
Yeah.
When people hear about kids, they're like, oh my goodness, this and that.
It's like no. Tears.
Yeah.
Like,
and this and that. And it's like,
we hate that.
That's
stigma.
Not, I hate that because no, that's not how it has to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've seen, like we've said before, we've seen so many parenting styles.
Yeah, dude.
Like, there are parents that this is good parenting.
We and that doesn't mean, four kids that does and all not their mean, kids the, are like
that does not mean the kid is perfect.
Yeah.
But the parents are perfect. On top of it. They're engaged.
Yep.
They're proactive.
Yep.
And when the kid gets out of these child years, it's going to be a great, decent human. But that doesn't mean it's easy by any means. But like, totally. There are ways to parent that don't have to be this. It's the end of the world.
Yeah. Hey, we want to take another quick break to tell you guys about a communication tool that has helped transform thousands of marriages and is being heralded as the best communication tool for marriage. I love Zach and Tori's nightly check-in. That was a super helpful little routine for healthy communication about the activities of the day. Now, the Marriage Journal is a weekly check-in, and it starts with a short word of encouragement and a calendar to communicate about the week ahead and everything that you got going on for the week. Then there are 6 weekly questions, which these questions is the core of the journal. So you go through these 6 questions with your spouse and record each other's answers to them. For example, some of the questions are, what's one thing I can do for you this week? What's one specific thing that was hard this week? What's a dream, craving, or desire that has been on the forefront of your mind? You get the idea. So these 6 questions help to facilitate healthy conversations so you can understand each other better to love each other more. Also, it just got a whole new look, brand new makeover. So head on over to themarriagejournal.com to check it out. Also, if you use the code podcast10, you can get 10% off on the Marriage Journal. All right, back to the episode. Mm-hmm. I love that. And I would totally agree. And we hear all the time, just being in the early stages of this parenting process of like, well, you know, my kid, this. It's like, sure, like there might be some elements that are more difficult, but like we're supposed to rise to that occasion, mm-hmm. to that element, and figure it out, you know, like, but sure, like there are elements that are, or circumstances rather, you know, that require some, let's just call it extracurricular parenting. But like, A, I think those are very, very far and few between. And most of the time it's just, no, like every kid's different. You got to rise up to that level, which is exactly what you said. I love that.
In the words of mm-hmm. Julie Lyle Carr, is Oh, you're raising an original.
You're raising an original. No one's raised your child before. Yeah. Exactly. Love that.
That's good. I could do a whole podcast in my opinion on
parenting. We should come back
this is and where watch I, just on parenting. Yeah, yeah. I worked up about
we
this.
Might no, that. This, we, that's what we should. This is kind of the intro podcast to you guys, but that would be really cool to come back with a little bit more. Like, what are we learning parenting? In the early, like, first 2 years parenting, go. And we have a whole discussion.
That'd be good.
We'll do that. Let us know at Behind the Scenes Podcast on their episode if that's something you guys would be interested in. Behind the scenes of raising an LP, here's a question. What has been the hardest challenge you guys have faced so far with Jackson? And do people say rude things in public?
I don't think we've gotten too many rude things
in
public.
A lot of people ask this question.
Yeah, I don't think we've gotten too many rude things in public. One great, great thing about having the farm is we do come to the farm a lot to play. And so, you know, we go to the park also and fun play areas and the
Pirate
zoo.
Pirate
park and things like that. But I guess the exposure to the public hasn't been.
But even like, I mean, he's only two. And it's only been recent that you can really like.
Totally.
Like tell that he's different than any other kid. But honestly, we get more like, oh, he's so cute and he's so like.
Yeah.
We get more of that than anything else.
I mean, sorry to cut you off, Zach, but like the show, when we first started doing the show, that was the mission, is to educate people about dwarfism. And I feel like, I mean, the show's done that in a large way.
But there's times when I think a parent sometimes or an adult will look at the Jackson and he's like walking and running. I'm like, that is a. You know, and then it takes a while for them to click. Like, you know, he looks like a six-month-old, and he's like running.
And
like,
I think that's the most common thing like, is people think it's like a six-month-old that's walking, where it's like, he's two.
And they're like, whoa, that kid's like Superman. And
That's funny.
Oh,
yeah.
Hey, how old's your kid, too? And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, Jackson's like in that 6 month superhero.
It totally helps, though. I think me being a dwarf, though,
people
get it pretty quickly. They look at me and they look at him. And they go, okay, that was two of the same people. He must have whatever the dad has. That definitely helps in public.
Yeah.
What was the first part of that question, though?
Oh.
The second part was
have
we gotten rude comments or?
Just the biggest challenges with raising an LP or.
Which goes into the next question, which is how has it been raising a puppy like Murph and a baby at the same time.
Yeah, was a lot of people ask that for you, Tori. Like, how was it all you thought?
Don't do it, people. Just don't do it. No,
that's your best advice.
Now
don't do
it. I would say now I'm in this like period that I'm like, oh, do it. Like, it's the best thing ever.
Because now it's so good.
Oh, like, they love each other. My kid literally just manhandle a 120-pound dog. Like, love it.
Yeah.
But there was like 4 months there that I was brutal. Like,
don't
done.
Expect to unwrap it and have it
it's perfect.
Working. Like, you have to like work at it.
That's a project.
You have to unwrap it and then you have to put it together and then you have to nurture it, this relationship. So don't think that this will just bam. Know that you're engaging in something that's going to take a lot of work and effort.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. And that has to be part of the journey and the 100%. Part of the fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't.
We're like just a year into it. We're a year deep into having Murphy with us. And we're just now, I think, reaping the benefits. We're just now, we can take him places with us and he's not like nuts.
It is pretty cool, though, to have a 110-pound dog, though, walking alongside Jackson.
And you.
Yeah. He's just. Yeah, and walking beside me, but it's just really cool to see. Powerful,
like,
big dog, and then he's just Jackson.
I love that.
Zach, that
it's such
dog.
A good,
that reminds
like,
me of your life hack.
What was my life
hack? No, no.
Oh, no, no.
I know.
Yeah.
That was bloopers. A little behind the scenes joke.
Raising that LP, though, it's been fine. Like, obviously, mentally, you know, because one of the most asked questions anyone has is, like, you know, oh, he's gotten so big, or, like, oh, your kid's so grown, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And obviously, we're not going to get that with Jackson, you know? We're not going to that is a huge element of raising a child that you do miss out.
Like,
and you have to be secure and comfortable in that, in your parenting style and your own child, to, like, just not let that bother you because, to Tori's point, you're raising original.
Yeah.
You have to adjust your scale of cultural success, you know?
Yeah, you have to judge your scale, but also, like, that's part of parenting, which I'm not faulting this. I'm not going to go on a big, like, I'm offended by every little
thing. We got to get you back in here on this.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, when the whole question, like, oh, is your kid talking yet? Is your kid this? Yeah, is your kid that? Yeah,
yeah. The comparison.
And that's just part of it. But that's fine. Like, that's just part of raising anything or doing any project. Yeah, you ask questions about it. Mm-hmm. But, like, as a parent of someone with dwarfism, we just have to be more, it's fine.
We
like,
it's
okay.
Yeah.
And you just have to have a, if you surround yourself with good friends too and things like that.
Yeah.
But it's kids go through so many. This is 2 years into a life. You're raising a lifetime human. Mm-hmm. Like, even a kid, a child, that's only 18 years of at least 70, 80 years. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, this is such a small,
small moment it.
In. And they do sense that. Yeah, kids.
Like, they'll sense your
anxiety.
Or your expectations. And, like, they will see, like, Jackson's going to see Ember do some things and then subconsciously see your guys' reaction.
Yeah.
They're that smart.
And if that's why it's very important that we don't make a big reaction.
Exactly.
Or it's like, or when he gets older, when he's 13 and he can't go on Splash Mountain, even though all the other kids can, it's just like, honestly, I'm in the space of, like, sorry, man, like, that's just how it is. That's life.
But hey, I got something for you. And go get ice cream or whatever it is.
But that stinks. Yeah. You know, that stinks. But like, and dwarfs, I think, sometimes have to learn that, or people with disabilities or kids with disabilities have to learn that a lot sooner than other kids. And but like, that's life. And that's what creates super resilient people. And that's what our dad says all the time. He's all big on resilience. And that is, I think kids with disabilities do develop a resilience if, you know, the parenting is all there.
Yeah,
and
totally.
And you develop mentally very strong humans.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
That'll preach.
We've got a couple more questions, and then we want to do some questions from
fans
specifically.
Yeah.
Two more just like,
I don't know, two big questions, and let's see if it's something we want to go into.
Yeah, you
right
guys
now.
Can dodge and bullet if you need to.
We don't have, what do you guys want to have happen to the farm? Which we, you know, you guys might have to save that for TV, and we might not want to get into that. What is God?
What's one thing God's teaching each of you guys right now?
Yeah.
I think God's teaching me to, like, I need a calm. I need to worry about me. I have a tendency to get worked up about other people's, what I've been doing, other people's reactions. I'm like family members. Like, I need to chill and, like, I need to worry about me, worry about my family. Everything else is going to do what they do. Mm-hmm. You know, I need to, like, I get worked up about something, things that are totally out of my element, totally out of my control. You know, have a little bit more self-control with, like, that.
Mm. Like, and to just to speak a little bit into that, what Zach's saying is, like, you know, he'll get worked up on... You'll find yourself stressed out on Neymar's decision to go to PSG or not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, like, just these things that are just like, because you're an analyst and you like to analyze all these different things, but it's like, decompress on that a little bit and spend that energy on things that actually affect you.
Exactly. And like, what affects me and my family, like Tori, Jackson, you know, that's my family, Merv, can't leave him out. But like, yeah, I get worked up sometimes, especially when it's like, your family, like, so the farm, you ask about the farm.
Yeah.
Like, I get worked up about that. That's, like, that's the family. That's, you know, that's part of the team. I'm all about team. I'm a soccer coach. I apply almost everything to how a soccer team works.
Yeah, which
that's
is
like my thing.
Which
everything.
Is amazing.
Forwards, defenders,
it's
midfielders.
A
everyone
philosophy,
has a
philosophy. Like
everyone has. It's a beautiful philosophy.
But I get, like, offended sometimes when I don't feel like people are, like,
playing their role.
Playing
well.
The role of the team. Like, you're doing something else, and then obviously the team's gonna stink if you do that,
dude.
So I get very worked up, but at the end of the day, I need to like calm. That's not healthy for me. That's not healthy for Tori. You know, I want to, and not just like family, even close friends, coworkers. I get worked up with coworkers when I'm like, you're like, that's super self-centered of you. Like, why would you do that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Soccer coaches I work with, and it's just like, you know what? That's their problem. It's got to be their problem, not mine. I always make it my problem.
Your response is
your
responsibility.
Yeah.
Emerson Eggerich.
Tori, what about you?
I would say that I think God's trying to teach me, and I've been stubborn with it, is just being more content with where I am and what I'm doing, and my family and what we have. You know, I'm kind of like, I would say the dreamer of the two of us. I'm the one that's like wants to do things, wants to like go places,
totally
fix the house, do whatever. And I think that, and like even when we were trying to have a baby, you know, it took us 8 months and it was kind of like, for me, I was trying to control the situation and I was trying to, you know, like I wanted it now and I wanted it to happen and all these things where it's like, no, you have to like just slow down, let God do his thing and be content with what you have. And I think that that's a hard lesson for me to be learning right now, but I'm trying my best.
There's a balance. Jeremy, you and me talked about this at the fire.
I was literally just going to say, because like Aj and I have a beautiful balance, and hearing that is so interesting because the answer is in the middle. Zach, you need a little bit more initiative. Yeah. And like Tori, you might need to be adopt some of Zach's contentment.
So to help
Tori. But like the solution's in the middle, and that's the beautiful abrasion of marriage, that collision of two identities coming together and finding the beautiful one in the middle. But it's a lifelong process.
For things like this, I feel like I could take more of an initiative to like making a budget, like, hey, here's our plan. And then as long as we fall into this plan, you know, she can dream like as well, up to the plan.
Up to the plan, yeah.
But then there's me, like, I'm a little too laid back.
Yeah, see?
And then it's like a little bit too, like, sometimes it's like I could like sit and watch Jackson play. But like that's, you know, you don't see life, and Jackson doesn't see life either.
I just had a analogy come to me, and it's like a lot of people marriage is two people holding on to two ends of a rope, and some people play tug of war, trying to drag the other person into their sphere or their zone or what they think, like their personality and their trait, when really it's less of a tug of war and more of both people climbing to the center. You know what I mean? Because that's where this person gets to adopt some of the other person's initiative, and the other person gets to adopt, you know, the former person's contentment, and the solution's in the middle.
Yeah.
But that's like one thing I do feel like we learned from our marriage counselor, like before we got married, was you never want to compromise on a situation.
Yeah, no.
Like you never, like, yes, I think meeting in the middle is really important.
I
want
to say,
but like you never, like, I feel like in a marriage, you both have to be content with meeting in the middle and like come to a resolution.
There can't be later bitterness and resentment because one compromised and the other didn't fully.
You should prefer not to compromise and find resolution.
Yes.
Because if you're compromising, both parties are always leaving something on the table something. Yeah. And so then neither one are happy, and then you add up enough compromises.
But I like that you're both like, if you have a center goal, you're both climbing towards that goal, not
to that
against
resolution.
Each other, or trying to get the other person to come fully to your side. Like there has to be some
And that's a great thing to bring up with that analogy, because that's something we talk about on Beating 50 a lot, is resolution over compromise.
Well, and that's why I don't think it's healthy with relationships to have like absolutes or
ultimatums.
We have to do ultimatums, because that's like you leave no room for resolution.
Yeah,
definitely.
Okay. Couple rapid fire questions from specific fans. You guys ready?
Ready.
Don't know how to pronounce these Instagram accounts. Key Conlin 77 asks, if you are not on LPBW anymore, what would you guys like to do instead?
I would probably be teaching.
Yeah, Tori would be teaching. I think.
I think I'd probably be part time teaching. I'd probably still be a stay at home mom, but then maybe
like subbing,
subbing or part time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Totally depends when LPBW went away for me. But if it was never here, I think I would either be a teacher or a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
If it went away right now, I'm not sure. I would.
Yeah. But there's no plans for it to be going away.
Yeah.
No plans. That's right.
The show must go on.
Yes. Yeah.
Just want to reassure everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Lufa10 asks, Zach, what's your favorite childhood memory involving Jeremy?
Oh, whoa. That is a very specific question.
My favorite childhood memory involving Jeremy.
Catching a mole?
No.
I feel like we've been recreating all these memories.
You know, adventures on the farm, like fort building. Remember when we used to build forts on where the campfire is now, in that part of the forest?
Yeah, for sure.
And then we started the middle, and then we went to the left.
Well, no, you know, I actually was thinking about just the other day, the fort we built behind the town in the ditch. We built those bridges.
And we built it in the mountain range over, probably fort building around the farm is my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a dozen.
Oh, yours too.
That's probably mine too. There's a, like, we would get home from school and
we would have like seven different forts.
Yeah. We'd accidentally leave our book bag at school. So when we got home, mom forgot my bag at home.
Darn it. Build a fort.
Gonna have to go work on the fort, you know.
Yeah. We had a couple. We had the dam fort, the fort by the hills. And then we used to have a fort with like a hay roof in the middle part where the bike track used to be. Do you remember that one?
I don't remember that
one. We had a full on, like, it looked like Ewok's Battle for Endor.
Oh, man, what? I don't remember that. Yeah, but I remember I hand built that cable slide in the fort in the forest. Remember?
Yeah.
So you guys, oh my goodness, I can't believe this.
We could do a whole podcast.
We could do a whole podcast on the fort building. But like, I found supplies. I mapped. Math class was my favorite time to map out all the mathematics of our fort building. And remember that cable slide I built
from one
tree to the other tree? I rummaged the barns for supplies, built a PVC handle, this old rickety pulley, and we would cable slide from one tree to the other on this home built 15-year-old.
That is the most sketch.
And then the swamp fort, if you ever come to the farm, the swamp fort, I think, is the equal sign of all this fort building.
Yes, yes. It's basically, we're all learned and built up to that.
You'll see that none of these other forts are still here.
No. Yeah, that's good. That's a good one, Zach. That's a whole podcast.
Okay, two more questions. For Tori, what advice would you give to a single college girl when it comes to dating?
Oh, goodness. I would say to a single college girl, don't be too eager, maybe. Is that too spicy?
No, that's really good.
Or,
too spunky? Is that what you said?
Spicy.
Eager. Oh, why did you say eager? I thought you said eager.
Yeah, eager. Don't be too eager and just be patient. And I've seen it so many times, especially the school that I went to. I went to WSU and there was a lot of
eagerness.
There was a lot of eagerness there. And I think that girls sometimes, especially in college, kind of lose themselves because I know for like, I didn't really date that much. I had like two boyfriends before Zachary. And I look back on those relationships and it was more like, oh, I just liked the idea of having a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like that was just cool. You know, that's what you did. And like just looking back, and then especially now with my relationship with Zach, I met Zach at a time that I was like okay with being single, and I was, you know, content with like that whole situation. And you know, so it happens when you least expect it. You don't always need to go searching for it.
Everyone says that, and then all the single girls are like, come on, don't tell me that again.
Yeah,
but it's so true. I feel like it always is. If you ask any married person, it's like it's always at that moment when they are confident with just where they're at in their season of life, and then God brings them in when you least expect.
Totally. And there's a sense of like wanting the Lord more than you want someone else that I think is an interesting like for a lot of people anyways in the college season, that perspective shift is super, super powerful. Yeah. And then also what happens with eagerness is compromise, you know?
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
I talk about that all the time. I look back on my dating experience and what would have happened if I had ended up with one of those guys.
Yeah.
Not to say they were bad guys, like, at all. They were great.
Yeah.
But I, like, just look at my relationship with Zach, and he has really led me towards the Lord more than I think I would have ever come in my life. And I think that he has helped me. Like, I just look back and, like, wonder, would I be in this situation, or would I be unhappy, or, you know, because I'm in a really good place with Zachary and really thankful for what we have. And so, like, it was
intentionality.
He took forever. Be patient too, ladies.
All right, you guys. So this one's from Rick Jax. Goals for the future. Any big projects and plans?
Well, you guys have been speaking about your yard. We also have got our yard. We're getting our yard dialed in. Yeah. So that's probably the big house project.
Which people will be able to watch that, right?
They will.
Potentially, if we get going. But yard project is our big one. But then also we're going to take Jackson to his first national convention this summer.
Fun.
So awesome.
And you will be able to see that. Boom. And, you know, Little People Big World, hopefully.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But then also we're having a baby.
Oh, yeah, we're having a baby
as
well.
That's a big project plan for the future.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really call it a goal.
Yeah, November we'll have another baby here, so we'll...
That's so exciting.
Yeah, so we got to set up a new baby room, and we got to get Jackson all in his own...
Dialed up.
We got to get him out of the crib because the new baby needs it. We have so many things
that's
going.
That's a project.
Yes. Yeah, so we're going to be busy.
Yeah,
it's good stuff.
Awesome.
Good stuff coming up.
Well... #StoryofZachandTori.
Where can people find you guys online? if they don't already follow you, which most probably do.
I'm on Instagram. In I don't really pay attention to my Facebook.
Zach tries to be on Instagram, but he's at Z-Lo.
No, Tori.
I'm on Instagram.
Zach tries to be on Instagram. Yeah.
And then Tori, you're big on Instagram as well.
Yeah,
Tori is on Instagram.
And you're just Tori Roloff, at Tori.
I'm just at Tori Roloff. Yep. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, Z-Roloff07.
Well, you guys, this was super fun.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks,
thanks for coming in. Being our first in-studio guest.
You're going to have to do this again for sure. Because we got to get, dude, you, me, and Jeff would have a fun conversation around parenting.
Oh, yeah.
Bethke, Jeff Bethke.
Yeah.
That would be a fun conversation.
Yeah.
The Hawaii guy.
Yeah, you would love to meet Jeff.
Yeah, but the guy that they met in Hawaii.
Cool.
His whole philosophy is like family as a team. Yeah, you would love it.
I'm coaching. All about that.
Yeah, the best dads are good coaches. This is kind
of good.
All right. Well, you guys, it was a pleasure. Thanks for coming on. And we'll talk to you guys very soon. Yes. And finally, if you guys enjoyed this episode and have been enjoying the podcast, we would really, really appreciate 5 seconds of your time. Jump on over to iTunes or wherever you're listening and leave a quick review. Like I said, it just takes 5 seconds and it really helps the podcast out, helps the algorithm, helps us when we're pitching the show to new guests, helps with that whole process. So thanks a lot, and we'll see you guys next. I always say next. Well, I guess this time it is next week, but we'll see you guys in a couple days.